This night is just continues to go downhill.
Acknowledge me.
About time you did something right.
Oh, see, I just can't stand. Who in the hell do you think you are?
Ooh, nothing. Don't get near. Ooh, I'll tell you. Ooh.
Dude, I want justice.
Does this job come with hazard pay, King?
Yes.
We got a new hit.
Yes.
Kids, don't try this at home.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another installment of the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and it's a little sparse at the table tonight, but I'll start with my man in the Big Apple, Jason Block.
Let's see. We have no sound guy. We have no stat boy. But we do have some guy with some bad news. Hey, Shane, what's up?
Bad news is that everyone is on holiday, so we're the only three left. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah, that's pretty much it. But there is some bad news, Nikki, and a lot of people are on the shelf for a long time, and it's not
yes.
good.
So let's see. We're go through the list.
Well, let's start with Monday night because all through the day on Monday. We were getting news that Rhea and Shane, you were pissed at this, that Rhea was so hurt that she had to drop the title. Now, what had happened was good.
I was gonna say, yeah, I knew this was an inevitability, especially when you saw originally that she had her wrist braced up. I'm like, fuck, here we go again.
Well, remember she worked through a hurt wrist through WrestleMania. And she also worked through.
And she wasn't the only one working through WrestleMania with an injury.
We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that.
Mm-hmm.
So Monday night, she comes out in a wrestling. And let me tell you something. I saw Rhea's face, and I do not want to get on her bad side because she was pissed. And I mean pissed.
She was legitimately pissed, and I can't say I blame her because I agree with a lot of the IWC, but then again when you look at the bigger picture, it makes sense as to why she had to drop it.
Because during the brawl last week with Liv Morgan, she blew out her AC joint and I believe separated her shoulder or something, or re-injured the wrist or something to that effect.
I think when she got the chair thrown at her, I don't know. I think the chairs hit her wrist because everyone knows when you get things thrown behind you, your timing has to be perfect or otherwise something's going to get fucked up. And it looks like the timing was not perfect on this one because, injuries happened.
So Liv Morgan, unfortunately, fans are a little nutso because didn't they give her legit death threats for doing that, I think?
It was stupid. Like, okay, I am not one of these fans that sent her a death threat because friggin', like, I was pissed, but I wasn't that stupidly pissed because I understand that this is a that this is a wrestling business. This is not fucking ballet. It's the oldest adage in the book. It's not ballet. People get hurt. Everyone already knew Rhea was going in injured at Mania with the wrist brace. So this just further added to the injury.
And next week, they're going to crown a new champion. Do you think we get a heel champion or do you think we get a face champion?
I actually did a video about this, and I actually said, if you stop and think about it, the Raw women's singles division is screwed right now, because you have no legitimate women who can carry the women's world championship at the moment. You give it to Becky now, her loss at Mania means shit. If you give it to Nia Jax, people are going to be pissed. If you give it to Liv Morgan, yes, you're taking advantage of heel heat that she's currently got, but people are going to bitch about that.
I think Liv Morgan is the best option right now.
Liv is the best option storyline wise. Is the best option storyline wise currently and business sense wise, because right now Raw needs to start. I love that they're focusing on the women's tag team division. I love that. Don't get me wrong. But in doing so, you have left a huge hole in your women's singles division.
True.
Because after the four women I just mentioned, after Becky, Nia, Rhea, and
forget one other thing. We got a draft this coming week.
True, very true. Yes.
You could put Bianca back on there.
Quickly. I don't know. I don't see them doing that with Bianca, because I think what they're doing with Bianca is using her as a tag team with Jade to give Jade women's tag team gold as her first championship run, and give someone experienced in the WWE style to work off of and improve with.
That's a good idea.
One thing I think might happen is that they might go ahead and either bust up Damage Control or get the women's tag belts moved,
mm-hmm.
so that they can get either Asuka or Kairi soloing again.
I've got a better idea because She was having such an amazing singles run before they stuck her back into a friggin' tag team. Can we get Zoe Stark back on a friggin' singles run?
How about Shayna Baszler too? How about
please? Where's my girl?
Yes, absolutely. Get her back to her submission magician ways, and get her facing Liv.
Right, I mean, something like that. There's potential. Hey, this booking stuff ain't easy, you know. I mean,
but Doofenshmirtz is a very smart man, and if he's very smart, actually, this would be the perfect opportunity to. One, push Shayna Baszler, and two, give Ronda Rousey the bird.
Fucking burned the bridges, motherfucker. She nuked them. Injury number two. Monday night, Rollins is home with the daughter, sadly.
Yeah, and this is why Jamie Claudia is not here, because she is currently recovering from sadness of this news.
Correct. Because according to what was it, Good Morning Britain, and from Becky Lynch herself, that Monday Night Rollins has actually gone through meniscus repair because it was torn, mm-hmm. and he'll be out for a few months. So that's why they dropped the title twice.
Yeah.
But Nikki, you told me that Seth Rollins is a beast. Tell me why. Tell us why.
Seth Rollins is crazy. But, you know, we already knew that when it came to CrossFit. If you're into CrossFit, you got to be a little insane anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we knew that Seth was working hurt through WrestleMania. And then I see a tweet from Marek Brave, his co-conspirator at the Black and Brave Academy.
In Davenport, Iowa, yes?
Yes. And Marek says Seth didn't miss a single fitness session either. So Doofus is out there doing CrossFit with a bum knee.
I think it was more for strength training at that point because even with a torn meniscus, the man needed to get through a total of an hour and a bit worth of matches.
Mm-hmm.
Seth came up during that era though. Seth came up during that final part of that, man, this is what we've got to do. You have to finish the show. You have to continue the story. That's why everyone loves Seth, because he is what he says he is. He's the workhorse of WWE.
And sometimes he just doesn't get enough credit for that. And to that, good on you, man. And I'm sure Dad's proud of you because that's exactly what Dad would do. I mean,
Doofenshmirtz, Evil Incorporated. Yeah. But I will say this again. Good on you, Seth. Get some rest. Come back for SummerSlam. Okay.
Well, after this, like, I can't really even call Triple H Triple H anymore after this past week, because now I've just got a new name for him of the great Helms Deeney. the way that R-Truth called him a magician. You're a magician.
Oh, that's right. Which we'll get to in a second.
Yes.
The third big injury was in the Indies this week. The Deathmatch King, the Indie God, has a torn pec. Matt Cardona had surgery this week to repair a broken pec, and he'll be out a couple months too. But dude has been on fire for 4 years since he got released from the WWE.
Yeah.
Good on you.
And his phone might ring.
Maybe. But I, you know, good on you. Now, but we need to go back to the WWE, because not once, but twice, we got our tag belts replaced.
Yes, we did. Ain't they pretty?
They are both first of all, both of those belts made the red and blue ones look cheap. Didn't they look really cheap? They looked terrible.
Well, a lot of people didn't like those belts when they were initially announced, since they were originally more brassy, so they were called penny belts.
Mm-hmm. Or dime belts or coin belts.
Yeah, because that would look good on a coin, but it doesn't work for a plate. I like them, but what we've got instead is much better. Mm-hmm. And is much more traditional. But Hunter, being the NWA mark that he is.
Oh, yeah. Because the Raw belts were great. Oh, and by the way, R-Truth tried to make Triple H and Adam Pearce corpse.
He tried. He almost got Hunter.
He almost did, yes.
I wasn't watching Pearce, but he almost got Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
He did get
Hunter. Hunter did a laugh on the side. He's like, oh shit, you son of a bitch.
And then he was like, oh, you know what?
We're gonna wrap this up. Just take your belts.
Yeah.
So he could walk to the back so he could bust out laughing. I've seen this with JBL.
Mm-hmm.
Although, speaking of Awesome Truth, they did a little video that looks like one of those Dark Side of the Ring deals.
Oh, did they?
They did a little thing about the history of Awesome Truth.
Oh, okay.
Miz is trying to play it straight and R-Truth being R-Truth. They glossed over a lot of the bullshit that went on at that went during their first iteration, because some of it was bullshit. I will agree.
Mm-hmm.
And that tag team had legs back then. But I'm glad they're getting, you know, I'm glad they're getting a second shot, and Truth is going to take advantage of that and just try to break everybody up in the process.
Yes.
I think he's going to
break everybody. He's going to he and Miz are having way too much fun, because Miz right now is just like, look, my wife is recovering from the awful potential ovarian cancer bit, mm-hmm. which was, you know, I can just be the comedic guy, you know, the comedic tag team guy with the wrestling.
Yeah.
And wrestle. Good.
Yeah. Don't think too hard. Just go out there and wrestle. Have fun. And get your mind off of it for a little bit.
Hmm. So, and then also on Monday, we had a couple of other things. One, we had the return of Sheamus, or as he called himself, Sheamus. because the internet, being the fact that they are the internet,
yes,
thought Sheamus was fat. No,
that's not how you spell thick.
No,
if Sheamus is fat, I'm fucking obese. This is ridiculous. It's like, god damn.
Okay. So he actually tweeted out 9 hours ago, big meaty men slapping meat. Okay.
Yay. He did.
Okay. And he goes, okay. He goes, take your best shots. Whale miss, too many pies, etc. And then we're done with the photoshopping and shaming. I was aiming for the draft and got an early call up. My bad. On me. Been sleeping in the gym ever since, so watch this space. I appreciate the love, though. Sheamus.
I think we now know why Sheamus got the early call up. Because if it was common knowledge that Seth had a torn meniscus, then that's probably why they called him in early.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was a spectacular sequence production wise. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cody comes out. And basically says, I'm probably not going to be on Raw much anymore, because he's the WWE champion. And he says goodbye and gives a shout out to Jey Uso, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. Then I hope I remember this sequence right. Then I believe Jey Uso goes out of the ring, right? And in a long shot, goes outside to Sammy, right? Was this right after, or was this later in the night?
I forget.
I think it went. Cody come out, they had his promo, then he said to Jay, until we yeet again.
Yes, that was hilarious, yes.
Until we yeet again. Then Jay had his match, which he won.
Mm-hmm. Jay, that's right.
Jay left the ring, and then they went to the backstage segment with him and Sammy, with Sammy looking
right. So they followed Jay after the match, okay? This was like 2 minutes and 30 seconds. This was one long shot.
Mm-hmm.
Jay and Sammy are outside the arena, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jay says, Sammy, what are you looking at? He goes, man. He says, this, I believe, was one of the first places I actually saw a wrestling match. And tonight, I face Chad Gable for the Intercontinental Championship in this same arena. And Jay was like, go get him. He says, you know, And then they follow Sammy through the crowd, right?
Yes.
Into Gorilla, was it into Gorilla or was it down the stairs? I forget which. I have to look this up. Hold on.
I would say through Gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably through Gorilla so they could hit his music.
Right. And what a shot. What a production. Okay. It was a great camera shot. 2 minutes and 16 seconds. Okay.
Which is way too long for Kevin Dunn's attention span.
Mm-hmm.
Good riddance. Anyway.
Unfortunately for Sammy. Poor kid.
Just because Chad Gable's a sore loser, I mean.
Sammy was ready, willing, but then after the match he got gabled.
That's probably the best way to put it, because Gable had had enough of not being the Intercontinental Champion when he'd promised it to his family.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was through the crowd. I have it through the crowd, actually.
Okay. So Gable has essentially thrown away Alpha Academy.
Right.
For this vendetta. So Otis and Tozawa and Maxine are on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but there have been some rumblings going around, and trust me, if this is the
truth. I like it, and I like this, too.
If this is the truth, oh my God, this is going to be the best faction, next faction, mark my words, Gable and the Creed Brothers.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, please. Shut up and take my money.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, that's too much talent in one faction.
Yes, and you know what?
These guys will tear it up.
And let me just tell you something. I want a heel. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think it's the right move to make him a heel instead of what's his face? Chad being the face, beating Gunter. You know what I mean?
Oh, that
it's tough.
That is hard. Because that's two beautiful stories that can be told.
Right.
One being the hardworking, loving father who finally overcame the odds to win his first singles title.
Mm-hmm.
The other being the revengeful asshole who's just had enough of everyone not believing in him, and even though he's lifted so many people up and so many people have overlooked him, that he said enough's enough. Like I'm not saying this in a bad way because this man was talented in his own right, but it's giving me Owen Hart vibes.
That's fine. I get what you're saying. I get it.
Because Owen was the talent behind Hart Foundation, and Chad was the talent behind Alpha Academy, but both were overlooked for other people that others felt were stars, and they've just both said enough is enough.
And it's time for a change. Oh, hi.
Yeah, exactly. So that was. Did we miss anything else on Raw?
I think we're good. But I just my two cents on the Gable and the Creed Brothers. Holy crap! That's I'm getting it. Roderick's busy right now, but if they get Ivy Nile and jump into that, we've got a new diamond mine.
Yeah, we do.
I'm there. Again, shut up and take my money.
So Tuesday we started setting up for NXT spring break in 2024.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of good shit there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, I mean, we've got at least four matches set up for each week. Like, for example, on tomorrow, okay, I'm sorry, next Tuesday, we have Saul Ruker versus Blair Davenport in a bleach brawl, okay? Mm-hmm. Ilya versus Trick for the NXT Championships, and if Williams loses, he must leave NXT. Interesting.
Yeah, there's this thing coming up.
There's this thing coming up, yes. But Ilya is also supposedly going up, too.
I'm good with either story at that point.
This is where it, like, this past week on NXT, during the whole thing, Ava should have put on the general manager pants and said, look, yes, you're putting up the title, but Trick has more to lose. Because if he loses, he has to leave NXT. Like, we might as well make this a winner takes all thing. Whoever loses this match is gone from NXT. So that way, it doesn't give too much of a predictability feel.
That's true. We're also getting a triple threat for the NXT Women's title, which is Roxanne Perez, Lyra Valkyria, and Tatum Paxley all going at it.
Can I just say something on this? Can I say something real quickly?
Yeah, sure.
Because this is to a certain person we have locked away into our vault. My good sir, you get minus 5 stars for your opinion on Tatum Paxley because she is.
Oh, yeah. Mr. DM basically said that Trick Williams has no talent and Tatum Paxley's boring.
Both of which are bullshit.
Quite.
Because Tatum Paxley, I love the angle that they're going with. This gives me psycho Mickey James vibes. This gives me psycho Mickey James meets Gold Dust with the $1 million title vibes. Like, she's obsessed with the NXT championship, not the person wearing it, but the actual belt itself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, there was a very funny segment with Ariana Grace, and I believe it was JC Jane. Was that her, the orange-haired chick?
Or is that Gigi Dolan.
Gigi Dolan, the other one. Right, I'm sorry. Gigi Dolan, right. Sort of the fish-out-of-water bit. And,
it's from the previous week where it was a match between Ariana and Gigi. If Gigi lost, then Ariana gets to give Gigi a makeover. So they're doing this whole Gigi makeover tour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to transition her to make look her more like Ariana, like the queen, or like the prima donna type on NXT.
So, yeah, and so the D'Angelo family, which is D'Angelo, Stax, and Luca, are going to fight the No Quarter Catch Crew, which are Charlie Dempsey, Damon Kemp, and Miles Bourne. One guy who has been out of the No Quarter Catch Crew for a hot second is Drew Gulak. Drew Gulak has been persona non grata because supposedly he grabbed the waistband of Ronda Rousey's pants, and they're doing an investigation of that.
Well, clearly, you go, Nikki.
I saw something about Drew Gulak getting fired, and I'm like, wait a minute, what did he do? Noam Dar, I could see, but Drew Gulak?
Yes.
It was so. This all stemmed from Ronda Rousey's bitch tour, which I'm sure we'll talk about later in the show. But
no, we talked about it weeks ago. It's not.
Oh, yeah.
She had no good words for anybody, really.
Yeah.
No, she's yeah, like as Jason said earlier in the show, she's nuked fucking Bridges, and she's probably nuked one man's career as well. Because Drew Gulak didn't even get the decency of an on-screen whacking. He got whacked off-screen, and now he's apparently done. Because they also removed him from the stable Titantron as well.
So now that ain't cool. What they're doing to him? First, you know, let's do. Can we get back to innocent till proven guilty?
Well, it's corporation. It's a little different.
I know. I'm just.
According to reports, people are 50-50 on it. Like, you've got so many people. You've got one witness saying one thing, one witness saying another thing. There's no cohesive story. Like, some are saying, yes, Drew went for the handshake. He's missed and he's accidentally touched her drawstring. Others who are corroborating Rousey's story and saying, no, Drew came up and he pulled on a drawstring and then walked away, which I don't know, but Drew Gulak doesn't really give that vibe off to me.
Like I said, that's why I would get that kind of vibe I would get from Noam Dar. I wouldn't get that from Drew Gulak.
Mm.
If it was Drew Gulak, then I would probably be flipping a coin.
Right.
I hate to say it.
So we need to move on to AEW. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to talk about our new locker room leader.
We do.
We, you know, the new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, John frickin' Moxley.
And he looked good coming in with that.
Yeah, he did. His head was clean, no scars, looked happy, looked healthy. And,
hang on, guys.
Shane, I think he's gonna be happy about this.
You mentioned his name, he's gonna appear.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
You're speaking to the new Emperor of Japan. How can I help you?
Emperor of Japan? You won the IWGP title.
Yeah, so that puts me up with, let's see, Onita and Giant Baba and a couple other guys. Yeah. The country.
You know, by the way, I watched your speech. That's how you do it.
I was indisposed and I couldn't get back. I couldn't get back stateside to do what they were trying to do with Adam. And Adam, no offense, you know, great Rada speech, but it would work better in New York. It wouldn't work with us.
Mm-hmm. But you're going after Hobbs, man. Are you nuts?
The question is Hobbs crazy enough to take the bait?
Uh-huh.
People lose money betting against me.
Mm-hmm.
So when, you know, if Hobbs wants a fight, you know, he's gonna get it. He's gonna get a fight. See if he knows how to bleed. See if he knows how to beg. Mm-hmm. And yeah, let's see if he actually knows how to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, you're not on the card yet. You might be
for Dynasty.
Yeah.
And we'll see. We'll see.
Only a matter of time.
I'm sure they'll figure something out for me. And if not, you know, I could take that vacation we keep talking about.
Yeah, well, yeah, happy anniversary. No, but you've been to Japan. You've been in Mexico. You've been doing all right, man.
So, yeah, I got to do something nice for the wife here over the next couple of days.
Yeah, I know. Your anniversary and stuff.
So, yeah, I got to figure out something nice for her. Some stuff that I can't really talk about on the show.
Yeah, I figured that. But congrats.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Nikki'd get mad if I actually started singing that stupid song again about, you know, what I want, you know, what, you know, what are you doing in your downtime? My wife.
Let me talk to Nikki because we need to go over the card.
Yeah, yeah. Let me.
All right. Later.
Nikki!
Is he strutting around with the king with the belt on, going like, oh, I'm the king of Japan, that sort of
I'm
stuff?
I'm gonna see you at SmackDown next week, ain't I? Sorry, SmackDown's in Cincinnati next Friday, and I can't go.
I know. But we have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 matches, 3 on the pre-show. Okay.
And all the rest of them are 3-minute specials. No, sorry.
No, this one will go on for a bit. But before we get into the card, a couple of interesting things also. One, Shane, you heard this. MJF actually met with AEW officials when they were in Boston a few weeks back.
Yeah. There are talks that he's potentially signed a contract, but then there are other whispers that he's also signed with WWE. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens. If
I put it to you this way, I wouldn't be surprised if he signed with WWE. I see, the thing is that MJF, for all his arrogance, ain't a dumb guy.
Yeah.
And the only tweet he made, remember we talked about this, was to The Rock after WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't tweet to a WWE guy. You know what I mean? AEW people never talk to WWE people, usually.
Not publicly.
No.
What are you talking about, Buddy? Have you seen Buddy Matthews' Twitter page? It's like Rhea Ripley's mine, bitches. It's like, oh,
well,
that's different.
That's different. He's just like, excuse me, he's peeing on his territory, dude. That's what he's doing. Okay. I mean, no disrespect. Okay.
Oh, definitely not.
Buddy Murphy is not saying, hey, I'm coming back to be with mommy. That would put it to you this way. That'd be hot right now. He'd be the most popular. He'd be the biggest face. You know,
he'd be the biggest face because he could stand next to her, and then he'll be somebody's heel because there are a lot of people that want mommy.
Yeah,
I guarantee you. And if Buddy Matthews or anyone from WWE does listen to this show, because a lot of our shit does get brought up on Raws or SmackDowns.
Yeah.
Yes. Which we're still waiting for. We're still waiting for royalties, by the way.
Yeah, we are. We are.
But if they are listening, if Buddy, for the love of God, if Buddy Matthews' contract is in fact coming up with AEW as well as Malakai Black's, re-sign both of those motherfuckers. And for starters, with Buddy, make sure he returns with Rhea, whether it be at SummerSlam or wherever, but make sure he comes back with Rhea, because I guarantee you, if Mummy comes back with Buddy, the roof's going to explode.
And you have an instant feud with him and Dominic Mysterio. So, yes, Buddy Murphy will be the biggest face in the company.
Yes.
Yeah, or have Judgment Day turn on Mummy and Buddy make the save. That'll get him an even bigger pop.
Oh.
Like when Randy RKO'd Stephanie and Triple H came out and make the save.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn it. So we also had Tony Khan, dumbass himself, okay, do a media call, okay? And, of course, proved CM Punk right again, okay?
Hashtag CM Punk was right.
Mm-hmm. He was asked during the media call, and yes, I'm using fucking Meltzer's site, but because it's a very good details. He was asked, he was surprised to hear that CM Punk paid for his own tricep surgery and offered to reimburse if it was true. And he said they typically cover those expenses for injuries and would be surprised to hear if they didn't put it. It didn't sound accurate to him, and he offered to reimburse him if that was the case. What a fucking dumbass!
How do you not know?
How do you not know?
Exactly. And that's, you know, if he's that if he's supposedly that tight with the talent, he would know this stuff. And right there, he's just fumbling around like, I don't know. Dude. Mm-hmm. You gotta remember this kind of shit. And mm-hmm. by the way, you know, you got all this money. You better be paying his medical, because if you didn't, that's another nail in your coffin, son.
He's already got enough nails in his coffins. Like, if you're an AEW loyalist, take the sunglasses off for a second, man, and realize everything that Phil Brooks has said is truthful. There are no lies detected in his statement.
Well, so he also
why would he lie about the fact that everything he said about the video was true? You watched it word for word, pretty much what was done, and now everyone's thinking, oh no, he can't be telling the truth about Tony not paying for his medical bills. It's like, and then you had Tony come out and pretty much confirm it and say, oh well, I can't really confirm or deny that. It's like, you fucking idiots.
He also said, now, speaking of dumbass, he said he was asked about, you know, airing the Punk Jack Perry All-In footage. And he said TBS called him after seeing the numbers and thought he did a good job. Quote, he said for TBS, ratings are the number one source of fan feedback, and that airing the footage added, quote, a lot of intrigue into the FTR Young Bucks tag team match this weekend. No, it didn't. Bullshit. Bullshit! FTR Young Bucks doesn't need to sell dick. You got two of them. I hate the Young Bucks, but they're just one of, when they're working, the Young Bucks are one of the best tag teams in the world. Come on. Seriously. All right?
They
don't
have.
Go ahead. You got Nikki.
First of all, that incident has nothing to do with the feud. Number one. Number two, the two guys you're supposed to focus on in there aren't even with the company anymore. How the fuck is that supposed to help your match? Don't you talk about, you know, the people who are actually going to wrestle?
Yeah, Tony, if this drilled up as much detail as you said it did, please explain to me why the numbers I saw this week did not beat WWE in any platform, not NXT, not Raw, not SmackDown. In fact, not even WWE Speed. Your viewership this week was 785,000, which apparently was 4% lower than the previous week. So you're actually losing viewers, not gaining them.
Because a lot of them, when they saw the footage, we all kind of rolled our eyes and changed the channel.
And by the way, Khan claims that they're up year over year when comparing first quarters, crediting more shows, higher pay-per-view revenue, and increased media rights. Okay.
Oh, I want to see that report. Prove it, cocaine boy.
Yeah. He also claimed that the reason for the release of the pool pay-per-view schedule for the year was initiative from new hire Kosha Irby. Wrong. Wrong.
No.
Lie.
Liar. I'm not going to stand back there and listen to you lie to everybody.
The AEW trios and Ring of Honor six-mans are being unified. We'll get to the card in a second.
Do I have to state the obvious here?
Sure.
What's that?
Do I have to state the obvious here? If he's doing that, if he's unifying the AEW and ROH six person tags, which, by the way, the ROH six person tags were like one of the rare few six person belts, then I think Tony's starting to lose faith in his ROH investment.
No.
So
I don't agree with that, actually.
No, Shane, think about it this way. Merging it with the ROH trios belts probably will give it some more credibility at this point.
I don't know. It seems like it's going to be a double-edged sword on that one.
Now, either way,
Tony needs to do what we've told Scott Steiner, Ryback, and so many others. Shut the tweet up, dude. Like, goddamn. Like,
I will say though, I am going to, put the Oklahoma Wrestling Commission in room 101.
Yes, I did read that as well.
Fill me in.
This is from the Observer, okay? Mm-hmm. The Oklahoma State Athletic Commission has warned AEW about having Nyla Rose compete against women assigned at birth as female or cisgender women in the states. Okay, according to the minutes from January, the commission voted to warn AEW about having Rose, who is a transgender woman, wrestle cisgender women in the state, or, quote, there will be punitive action made against them, unquote. Okay, this was a match in December 20th against Alexandra Lyon, who she beat, which aired on Ring of Honor television. The administrator was informed by a local promotion that AEW would use that had used Rose on a card. So someone narked, okay? Miller said that he called AEW telling them that what they had done was a violation of the OSAC rules. Mike Bauer, the chairman of the OSAC, noted that wrestling applications in the states do not ask if someone has had gender reassignment surgery, while boxing, kickboxing, and MMA applications do. Bauer recommended they update the wrestling application to include the question. Okay.
How about commission? Fuck that guy. Get him out of here. Fuck you. Like,
yeah. No. Fuck that shit. Get that guy.
This is absolute bullshit. Like, look, I will admit, when Nyla Rose first came in, I, and these two will vouch for it because I said it live on this fucking show, that I thought it was bullshit because it's like, realistically, storyline-wise, who's going to believe that any of those women are going to beat Nyla Rose?
Right.
Fairly.
Then ask the same question about Awesome Kong, Nia Jax, Tamina, Bull Nakano in her prime.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. But like, obviously, there are women out there who are probably strong enough to face Nyla Rose. Don't get me wrong, but then as time went on, you saw that Nyla looked after the women in the ring, looked after mm-hmm. the women in the ring, took very good care of them, can fucking wrestle. So. Like, if the Athletic Commission is trying to go at this from a sports standpoint, yes, it is called sports entertainment, but you have to fucking remember the entertainment part of this. Like, these women are not actually getting hit. Like, I'm not getting physically hit by this by this individual. Like, so it's not like Nyla Rose is going out here and like cleaning the clocks off of these women like she would do in boxing or kickboxing. That's not what's happening here.
No, but there's an even easier solution to this. AEW shouldn't go to Oklahoma.
Right on. I agree with that.
You know, I have no say in what somebody wants to call themselves or make themselves. But if there's a governing body that wants to come down on that, no. You know what? You know, screw all you guys. They'll just drive into Texas. There's like 10 cities in Texas that'll be happy to show what they're doing. And if they get choppy about it, just move north. It's, you know, it's that simple. You do not need our business or our revenue that bad.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, screw them.
Screw them all.
And Oklahoma is the reddest state in the union, and screw them. And I will bet you there are going to that meeting in July is not going to be pretty when they go back there.
Nope. And I wish I'm going to need more popcorn. I want to watch that.
Mm-hmm. So the actual card is going to be very interesting. The build to it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So on the pre-show matches, Orange Cassidy and Shibata are fighting Shane Taylor Promotions, which are Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you have the newly healed Trent Beretta versus Matt Sydal. Okay. Mm. Then the final pre-show match is the unification match we just talked about earlier, which is Billy Gunn and the Acclaimed versus Bullet Club Gold. And they've got two words for you. Guns up. Okay. So then the actual show has Roderick Strong defending the international championship against Kyle O'Reilly. He ain't going to lose that. Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe versus the House of Black in a, okay. This is a weird, okay. This is the weirdestly booked angle I have seen in a while. And honestly, this is the first time I can say this. Jericho is looking his age.
Yeah.
Okay. He's not looking well. And it seems like he's mailing it in. Pushing around Taz because his son wouldn't listen to him? Really? Right?
I think Jericho is hoping that he doesn't. Where's Jericho's contract at this point?
Don't know.
Don't know.
You know what? Yeah. We don't want him.
No.
I don't look, brutally honest, at this point, WWE doesn't need him. WWE does not need Jericho. We're now in the new era. We have new stars who are being built up, who are looking amazing, doing great promos, everything like that. I'm not saying that Chris is not a good great talent, but
yeah,
just with what he's been doing in AEW the past couple of months, and this is not WWE favoritism. This is me looking outside the box as someone who's just watching the product. It's been lackluster from Jericho. I'm sorry. And that sucks to say because I've watched him from his WWE days and this is not his best.
No. Okada versus Pac. Okay. Yeah, my interest.
Take my money.
Okay. Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale with the shadow of Mercedes Monet involved. Okay.
Who still hasn't wrestled a single fucking match, but okay.
Well, no.
They want to get all the screen time out of her before she gets hurt.
Yeah. Oh, anyway.
Too soon, I know.
Damn.
Okay. In the dream match scenario, Will Ospreay versus Brian Danielson. Okay.
Yes.
Is it wrong that I'm saying I'm just watching Dynasty just for that fucking match alone?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. No. That's fine.
I'm there for Okada Pack. So
okay. You know. Oh, that'll be a banger. Like that. Realistically, like,
the main card, the headlining matches are stacked. like this, Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa for the women's championship. Oh, and by the way, did I mention that the FTR Young Bucks match is a ladder match too?
Probably doesn't need that, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I was going to say, you don't need a ladder for their flippy shit, but they still use it anyways.
Right. And then Samoa Joe versus Swerve Strickland for the AEW. They got to freaking pull the trigger. Please. Pull the trigger and make it Swerve's house. Make it effing Swerve's house.
Yes. He is white hot right now. Samoa Joe will not lose any face over this.
No, because he and him had a series of banger matches. Let him go. Let him do it. Let him have, though, at least a fucking run. Okay? Let him have a run.
Swerve's white hot at the moment. You have to put the belt on him. If you don't, I have a feeling it's just going to kill his momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. And that's that. So, Nikki, you saw SmackDown, right? Because we're going to sort of end it here, kind of. Mm-hmm. So, as expected, AJ Styles is going to be the first one to be fed to Cody Rhodes, so to speak.
You ain't wrong.
Uh-huh.
Although him and LA Knight put on a hell of a match.
Well, because he's L.A. Knight, yeah.
Yeah. So what do we do with Knight in the meantime?
Go after the U.S. title, maybe?
I thought they'd be saving that for another couple of months, so that can be Knight versus Paul in Paul's... Because it's in Paul's hometown, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's true. I might even get to see that in person.
Okay.
Yeah, so I thought they would have saved it for that, because I know SummerSlam's going to have some big matches, and I believe I said that they probably do. Who was it? Randy and Cody probably at SummerSlam, maybe. That'd be a good match.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. So yeah, that's been put into place.
We know Bayley versus Naomi is happening at Mania.
Bayley, Naomi, that happened this week. Tiffany Stratton interfered. I'm sorry, Tiffany Stratton interfered. So we may have a three-way at Backlash.
Oh, that's gonna be good. Yep.
So the Street Profits are the number one contenders to A Down Clown Under, as Nick Aldis called them.
A Town Clown Under, as Mr. Aldis said. Yes.
Yes, Dr. Aldis was happy to say A Clown Under.
Right.
I was waiting for him to swing. I was waiting for Hunter to swing, but you know.
Yeah, but you can't do that. Well, Hunter is right now at the moment. He can't.
Yeah, I know. I know, but man.
You know, you can see it in his eyes that he wants to, though. You can see it.
It's got to hurt. It's got to hurt.
Oh,
so
okay.
Much.
Okay. Oh, and we have a couple of releases.
Oh?
Xia Li and Jinder Mahal.
Xia Li, I'm not surprised they weren't using her.
Mm-hmm.
Jinder Mahal, another somebody else who wasn't being used, but didn't he just say, you know, fuck this shit, I'm out?
Well, it could have been storyline, but
apparently it was not storyline.
And on SmackDown, they announced there's going to be a battle royal to determine who the number one, who Rhea's. Okay. Mm-hmm. And also Zion Quinn has gone. From WWE. That's the guy who was with Xia Li, right?
No, Zion Quinn is the New Zealander from NXT who got called up during the supplementary draft. Mm-hmm. He He's the one that Braun Breaker speared in half in 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah, that. Okay. Now,
yeah.
Since we're going to have the draft next Friday, right? Next Friday, I believe?
Yes, and it's in Cincinnati.
Okay. So I have to ask, with NXT being involved, give me a couple of predictions of where you think people are going to go. Well, we all know Cody's going to work on Tuesday, working Fridays now.
Tuesdays.
Yeah.
I just, Friday. I know. It's been so crazy that, you know, I thought it was Tuesday. Anyway.
Unlike you, Triple H, Cody Rhodes likes to work Tuesdays.
No. You're good. I really think that Damage Control is going to be split up because there's really they aren't much without Bailey. No offense.
Right.
I think that we already know that Cody is definitely going to SmackDown. Damian Priest is going to stay on Raw. They are not going to
Judgment Day are going to.
You think they're going to split? They could split them up because they could send Dominic to SmackDown so we can renew his feud with his father.
Right.
Or have him jump in with either Legado or the LWO. Well, he'll jump in with Legado if he goes to any of those factions.
Right.
They're not going to move Jade Cargill or Bianca Belair.
No.
No.
I think that Gable and the Creeds.
They're staying on Raw.
Gable and the Creeds will stay on Raw because of the Sami situation. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I'm trying to think who from NXT I'd want to move up.
I know. I'm predicting it now. Ilya will go to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Trick.
Ilya will be.
Go ahead.
I think you were going to say Trick will go to SmackDown, and I agree. Or Trick and Mello will go to SmackDown, I agree. Trick or Mello, one of the two, will go to SmackDown.
Right.
And so Braun's up. Do you think Corbin comes back up?
Saying that Braun's already up there. I wouldn't be surprised if they do call Corbin up to SmackDown as well and have the Wolf Dogs go after the tag titles. Go after the tag titles against A-Town Clowns. I don't know. Probably who do I think is going to be the biggest shock factor? If she wasn't injured, I was going to say this was going to be a guarantee. The biggest one would have been Cora Jade to Raw.
But here's the interesting thing: NXT can draft main roster talent, so to speak, back down, even though it isn't technically down.
They technically really don't have to. They just fucking send them there.
And Natalya.
Yeah, well, I think Natalya was just there just to give Roxanne a bit of a momentum push because heel promos weren't exactly getting there. But
ooh. Oh, and by the way, here's a little numbers for you before we go back. The Royal Rumble to Tampa. Right, St. Pete?
Mm-hmm.
It brought in $47 million to the St. Petersburg area in economic impact. $28 million direct spending and $3 million in taxes. Not bad.
So, yeah, Oklahoma, you might want to rethink your Nyla Rose thing. Because AEW might only give you about a tenth of that. But that's still a pretty good chunk of change.
Agreed.
So, yeah, wrestling does pay. wrestling pays quite well.
Well, I know the Philadelphia one is going to be, what is the Philadelphia one? That's probably going to be over $100 million.
Easily.
Okay.
But, easily, given all the stuff that was going on, because we're not just talking Mania proper. You had the world.
Yeah.
You had Stand and Deliver. You had SmackDown Go Home Show. You had the Raw after Mania. Pile all that together and wow. Yeah.
Oh, and also, by the way, if you have HBO Max in the United States, I don't know if you have them in Australia. Do you have HBO Max or Max?
No, I've been trying to freaking get it, but it's not available in Australia.
Okay. The MJF Von Erich movie, The Iron Claw, debuts next month in May. I believe it's May 10th on Max. Yeah, May 10th.
Okay. I saw it in the theater and wow, it's powerful.
Is it really good?
Yes, it's powerful. Bring Kleenex because it is also a tearjerker. I think the only bad thing in there was whoever they picked to play Ric Flair had the energy, but I wasn't feeling it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and other people to add to the injured list. Cruz del Toro got injured as well. He had surgery. So Joaquin Wilde is there.
That explains the thing from NXT then.
Yeah.
When Ridge Holland slammed the door on his so that gives him gives him an out for surgery.
Yep, exactly. And this weekend, I think TNA also has a pay-per-view, too, called Rebellion.
Yes, that's gonna have some...
That happens tomorrow night as we record this, yes. Mm-hmm. And there's rumors that I believe Sami Callihan may be debuting for TNA.
He wouldn't be debuting, he'd be returning.
Returning to TNA, yeah.
Yeah.
Because... on the pre-show, we have Leon Slater at ABC versus the Rascals, which are Trey Miguel, Zachary Wentz, and Myron Reed. Mm-hmm. Spitfire versus Decay. That's Danny Looney and Jody Threat versus Havoc and Rosemary. And they're going to be with Lars Fredriksson, who is the lead singer of Rancid. Oh, speaking of which.
Yes.
Okay. Now... I've been very confused about this. I need to go back to AEW for a second.
Okay.
On tonight's Rampage, which I don't know if it was broadcast or not, there was a segment where Ruby Soho came out to tell Angelo Parker that they are pregnant. Are they legitimately married, or is this a storyline?
No, they're dating. They said that apparently they said that they've said to be dating for. A few months or a year now, and apparently, and people are saying that this is legit, that she is legit pregnant, because this was done during a taping of Collision.
Okay.
Rampage, one or two.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so if she, and that would explain why she hasn't been in the ring for a while, so if she legit is, congrats to her.
Yeah. And, Mr. Khan, you better pay all of her medical and write it down so you remember.
Yes. Mm. Do not forget the parental leave. Thank you. Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And you have the mother's union on your hands.
Right. So then you have Crazy Steve versus the Laredo Kid for the TNA Digital Media Championship on the main card. In a Full Metal Mayhem match, Frankie Kazarian is fighting Eric Young. Joe Hendry, you heard that, versus Rich Swann.
I believe in Joe Hendry.
Hendry, clap, clap. with fighting Rich Swann, who has AJ Francis with him, who, by the way, has also been making some moves as well. Another person who's making moves is President of Wrestling, Mustafa Ali,
yes,
who is defending the X Division Championship versus Jake something. And by the way, that's Mustafa Ali. The World Tag Team Champions, The System, Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers, are defending against Speedball Mountain, which are Mike Bailey and Trent Seven. Jordan Grace is going to defend against Steph DeLander, who is, of course, Matt Cardona's new female partner because his wife is now with the WWE.
Yeah.
Josh Alexander versus versus Hammerstone in a last man standing match. And Moose is defending the TNA World Championship against Nick Nemeth. Now, there is one thing we need to talk about with Chelsea Green. She actually got her apology.
No kidding.
Yep.
That's good. That's the only time she's going to get an apology. Oh, sorry. Hi.
No, she said, and I have to find this. She said that the Fairmont Hotel, she said, just had a real positive conversation with the general manager of Fairmont Hotels, New York, Plaza. All I wanted was an apology, and that's exactly what I got. Humility and humbleness are everything. Now, the reason why she was asked is because she was wrestling at Barclays, and there's a picture, which I'm going to show you right here,
mm-hmm.
where she was dressed a little. She kind of looked like a lady of the evening a little bit, but they should have just asked.
No. Ooh, that's borderline. I get the concern from the hotel, but come on, man.
Yeah, exactly. Please. Dude needs a, you know, get a life.
Mm-hmm.
Get a life. So, talk amongst yourselves for a second. I just need to get off the headsets. Sorry. I'll be right back.
I was going to say, who needs to get a life? I'm confused.
Well, no, I'm just, you know, I'm a little... I understand where the hotel was coming from, but they really need to show a little courtesy. Something we kind of...
Sorry, I was off head, so I'm confused with the whole story. So what's this hotel?
Oh, no, about? With Chelsea Green got her apology from the hotel.
Oh, that, yes, I remember that. Yes, they kicked her out for looking like a prostitute. Jesus Christ.
So she got her apology.
And oh, hallelujah.
And I made the joke that that's the only time she's going to get an apology from a manager in any other capacity. And this time she had every right to be kicking and screaming like a Karen.
Understandable. But it just goes to show, even with a corporation as popular as WWE, not everyone watches the product clearly, because you would have, if you saw Chelsea Green in her ring attire in a friggin' hotel lobby, and you watch the product, you'd be like, holy shit, it's Chelsea Green. But instead, the manager behind the desk goes, hello, 911, we have a prostitute here. Like, can you come get her?
Yeah, it's like, pretty much. I mean, like, don't watch the product. It's right up there. It's all the stories you've heard about, you know, Punk getting pulled over because people think they, you know, think he has drugs. Worse yet, when Punk was traveling with Kofi, they got pulled over a couple of times.
That's my favorite Punk story. He told that so brilliantly well. It's like, you shouldn't have gotten out of the car.
What happened?
Oh, we were talking about the Chelsea Green thing, and I was comparing it to Punk and Kofi getting pulled over because the police don't always watch the product.
Oh, dear God. Are we talking DWB?
No. Here was the best part, Jason. Kofi wasn't the driver. Phil was the driver.
Shit.
Phil was the driver.
Okay. That's fucking funny.
This was back when Kofi was doing his Jamaican run. Punk talked about this story so many times, it's funny as fuck. Apparently, when they were driving through, I can't remember what state it was, they got pulled over by the highway patrol. And, of course, because Punk has tattoos, he's like, I look like, because of my tattoos and my hair and everything, I look like I can make some pretty good meth.
And I'm going to share this. I think I have the story. Okay.
Yeah.
It's about a minute 53. Would you mind? Is it okay if I share it?
Yeah, go.
Go ahead. I just don't know if we're going to. Do you want to watch it now or you want to wait till after the credits?
Oh, okay. You know what? We'll do it after the credits. I'll share it later. But keep going because I have the story.
So you get pulled over. And of course, Kofi back then had his dreadlocks and everything. It's like, and Kofi's black with dreadlocks. and then I've got a few more road miles on me. The cop tells Kofi to get out of the car, and like a deer in the headlights, I grab Kofi and I go, Kofi, you do not have to get out of the car. Do not get out of the car. Kofi's like, what's the problem, man? I'm just going to get out of the car. And then he got out of the car, and then the cop, all Phil can see in his rearview mirror is Kofi getting arrested on the bonnet of his car. He's like, well, you shouldn't have got out of the car.
That is fantastic. But, you know, because there was an older story about that with, I think it was Jessica Havoc was riding with him. This was way early in his career. They got pulled over, and the cop that pulled him over had a dog. And they were bringing the dog up to the car, and Punk lost his shit. Mm-hmm. Why do you people think? Punker, don't get mad, but...
Mm-hmm. But yeah, of course, when you're younger, you got to do it. But yeah, that's... I hear so many horror stories, so Phil should count his lucky stars that he that all he gets let off is with warnings. It's like, dude, if you don't get out of the car,
but in the 70s and 80s, they got pulled over all the damn time, or they got away with a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, before body cameras were invented, it's like, oh, dude.
Yeah, excuse me.
So, on that note, I think it's time to wrap up.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Wow.
I wanted to say after the show?
Yeah, exactly. But we need to sell some soap. Shane, of course, you do your own opinions and TikToks, right?
Yeah. If you guys want to view me, it's Aussie Acehole on TikTok, where I give my own opinions, which, by the way, for legal purposes, I have to say my opinions do not reflect on NAWC.
Or five and one.
Yes. So okay. No legal lawsuits. Thank you.
Right, and of course I have a lot. I get to plug all the other shows because everyone else has a life. Just kidding. We, of course, at the WLTI, we're going to talk about the winner of The Amazing Race. By the way, spoiler alert, it's Nymphia Wind. We're going to talk about a new super champion on Jeopardy. Finally, Real People for Jeopardy is back. We're going to talk about The Amazing Race, Survivor. And we did a little numbers game called Play the Percentages last week. But we are, believe it or not, we're almost heading into May sweeps, and the Super Toilet will be back soon. Of course, there's Nick Dax, the BS Big Show. Hey, Nikki, if you want to come next Thursday and talk about your Detroit Lions, because they're drafting, we're going to be covering the first round live.
And I a video popped up on my YouTube feed, them showing off their uniforms for the 2024 season.
They look sweet.
They do. And classic. I'm on board, but then again, it's hard to turn me away. If they haven't turned me away by now, nothing's going to do it. But yeah, if I am available, I'll try to stop by.
That would be great. That's of course the BS Big Show. And of course it was a thing on TV, as I said, knickknacks. And all the shows here at 5 and 1. But of course, Nikki, you have all the artist shout outs.
Yes, and I will start with our panelist, Jamie Claudier, who is not here because she is celebrating her anniversary. So it's not because Seth is out, although I'm sure that is a symptom of her absence, because there wouldn't be a dry eye in the studio. Her artwork lately has been mostly Hotel. I'm trying to get her to start drawing wrestling again, but I am not one to impede someone who contributed to the WrestleMania wardrobe.
No. Shane, did you hear about this?
Well, sorry, what was this?
Did you hear about this? Do you
hear about what?
Okay,
that Jamie, go ahead.
Jamie Claudia was actually in touch with King Troy, who's the insane fashion designer that makes Seth's outfits. Jamie had a hand in what Seth wore on night one.
Oh we talked about this the other week before Mania that she advised us after the show that she drew the design for Seth's gear at night one. Mm-hmm. So as a huge, and that's another reason why Jamie's not here, because she's pretty much Hollywooding out now and getting offers from left, right, and center.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Let's see. Always a shout out to Oniwan Bashu. She's got her, I think she's got her card site up. I know she's doing commission. She does have commission info available. Her artwork is amazing and worth every penny. J-Rock at J-Rock Draws on Twitter. Variety of styles. He wasn't terribly expensive either, so I would definitely, he'd be definitely somebody to look into. Dozer Draws at Little Dozer Baby. I was proud, you know, I commissioned him for a Shieldiversary pick, a copy of which is now in Jamie Claudia's hands, signed by Seth freaking Rollins.
Nice.
So I should send him a note about that. I haven't had a chance to talk to Dozer. Nahil Tajes, if you like wrestling and anime, him and Otanad would both be your best bets. Tajes does draw a couple different styles, but he does lots of wrestling anime kind of stuff. Otanad is hysterical. Go find him on Instagram. Read everything. Seriously, everything. Guy doesn't miss. Let's see. For cartoony styles, I don't know if they do commissions, but Oforo at John J. Freeze. Really cute, you know, really cute artwork, but I don't think they do commissions. I have bootlegs of some of that artwork because Oforo has drawn some really, really, actually some two adorable Mox pictures. I have one picture that I call it the toy box. Essentially, it looks like Diary of a Wimpy Kid,
mm-hmm.
with Jon Moxley surrounded by all kinds of hardcore implements with little smiley faces on them.
Nice.
So let's see. James Diatto, somebody else I will highly recommend. His stuff is very similar to Nolanium, and he's probably cheaper than Nolanium. No offense, because Nolanium is amazing. If you're looking for wrestling art that goes hard, you need to look up Suicidal Assassin. Great, you know, great artwork, great guy. Definitely somebody, you know, definitely somebody to check in on. With any kind of commissions, though, make sure you're getting a work in progress so that you are not getting scammed with an AI. Keep the communication lines open. Pay well, tip generously, show it everywhere you happen to have social media, and credit the artist. This is how they make a living. I can't stress that enough. This is how they make their money. I apologize openly for the two bootleg shirts I have of Oforo art, and have pretty much said, if you ever do more mocks, let me know, because I want to get a shirt done. I would love to have a shirt with more of that art. Oh, good Lord, and I'll be remiss. I forget about a wrestler who does art, and that's Topla.
Mm.
Commissions always open. Her prices are damn reasonable. And her turnaround's pretty quick. So definitely check in with her. But yeah, these guys are making a living with this art. And I've paid a pretty penny for a lot of the wrestling fan art that I have. But all of it is worth it because they were able to take something out of my head and put it to paper. Or put it to pixels. So, I don't think I have anything else because I'm right here.
Yeah, and in the words of Paul Heyman, let's take this bitch home, shall we?
Yes, we should. So, on behalf of Jason Block, on behalf of Bad News Beeman, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do tune in next week as we examine the fallout of these up and coming Dynasty and Rebellion. We're going to review those, right?
Well, at least we're going to review the results. Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to head the road to Backlash, and we're going to preview the draft, or at least talk about the live. If we're doing it next Friday, right, we're going to talk about the live draft as we speak, or after draft. We're going to have to do it after the draft.
Well, and we'll be able to, we'll go ahead and go right into night one, quote unquote, of WWE's draft and see where we're going.
And we'll also have to see because with Dynasty, this is being tipped by the EVP themselves to be the biggest and greatest wrestling event ever. So we'll see if that lives up to, up to the hype.
Liar!
Excuse me.
Sorry. Yeah, I hear that. Okay.
So, see y'all next show.